week again. Join my man Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com and recap the Hokies win over the Noles 40-21. What's up, Christopher? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing good, man. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe, 111 North Main Street. Don't forget, tonight is karaoke and see Chris sing a little bars.
don't turn them off from going to Champs there.
Yeah, keep them in the bar. Let's get into what happened on Saturday here at Lane Stadium when the Hokies finally got that first win for Coach Beamer over Bobby Bowden's team. Coach Beamer won his 206th win overall. And impressive from the standpoint of the two-quarterback system worked. What did you think of it so far?
You know, I thought it worked pretty well, obviously. When Glennon got hurt and Taylor came in full-time, that was obviously a kickstart to the offense because Tyrod Taylor, the tools that he possesses were better for going up against that Florida State defense and Sean Glennon. I mean, they leave their corners back there on an island. You can hit them with a deep ball. They're in man-to-man all the time, which means their linebackers and defensive backs turn their backs to the line of scrimmage and give you running room. And, you know, you could tell that Tyrod Taylor was easily the best athlete on the field, and that's with a team with two teams full of great athletes. You know, it was a pretty amazing performance. We'll see what they do against Miami this week. Miami's fairly similar to Florida State in that they line up and kind of try to let their athletes beat you. They play a little more too deep, I believe. But I think you'll see more of both quarterbacks this week, but I think it will be Tyrod Taylor getting the majority of the snaps.
You'll see the corners go up against the Hokie receivers again the same fashion like they did this past Saturday, but you mentioned the Canes secondary. Yeah, Randy Shannon is a believer of the two-deep defensive system, but we'll get more into the Canes on Friday. Let's talk about what Tyrod was able to do. 3rd and 31, rushes for 38 yards. That play alone, Christopher, tells me, and actually tells defenses, that's a play that you can't plan for defensively, and he's going to make a big gain out of a broken play.
Yeah, you know, you never saw, you know, it was a good call from the standpoint that it worked, but the reason that they called the play was just to pick up field position and punt it, but Tyrod obviously had no intention of punting the ball in that situation. What really impressed me was when he got through the line, he broke that tackle from Derek Nicholson, you know, who was Florida State's arguably best linebacker. And that takes some strength to do that. You know he's got the wheels. You know he's got the straight-ahead speed and the agility, and he knows when to run. But he showed some strength on that play, and he's clearly back to 100%.
He also showed his strength and his ability to be at 100% when he made that jump pass to Boone on that one drive. And it's something that, once again, you look at Tyrod and you think, just from the standpoint of being able to make a play like that, you see guys in the pros right now, Tony Romo, same type of quarterback, where you just improvise and make plays. When this kid learns the system, he's going to be deadly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, spring practice is going to be great for him next year. You know, not that he needs a lot of work on his technique, but, you know, there are some instances where in some of his rollouts, for example, the interception, he didn't quite get his feet set, so it wasn't a very good throw. Thus, it was behind the receiver, got tipped up and intercepted in return for a touchdown. But, you know, overall, he's very technically sound. But you get him a spring practice under his belt, and he's going to be very hard to handle next year. Not that he's not now, but, you know, he's going to take it to another level next year.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on a Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430. And Chris, what also looked good in the first quarter was how Brandon Orr ran the football. Holes for him on the offensive line, and he looked a lot like the 2006 Brandon Orr, but it didn't continue.
It didn't continue. He got banged up at some point. I'm not exactly sure when he sprained his ankle, but you know, overall, I thought the Virginia Tech offensive line played pretty well. You look at Sergio Render, and he had 8 knockdown blocks, and a lot of the highlight plays you see on that film, there's a Florida State defender getting put on his butt by Virginia Tech offensive lineman. I remember one play in particular. I believe it was Kenny Lewis's first carry of the game. It was off to the right side, and they pulled Nick Marshman and Greg Boone from the left and brought them around to the right, and Nick Marshman got out in space and just led on that Florida State middle linebacker and just drove him into the ground, man. One of the most impressive blocks you'll see in space from a guy who weighs 350 pounds.
Yeah, that was Lewis's 17-yard run, which is impressive also. And that's been the way things have been. There have been holes for the running game from both sides. Also, you can't make the big explosive plays from a passing game standpoint and allow the receivers to get downfield unless the blockers are holding up the defensive line and holding up the blitzes. One thing that hasn't been talked about a lot is the success that the wide receivers had against a good secondary. Patrick Robinson, good cornerback. He whiffed on that one play on Justin Harper when Justin got the touchdown. But he came into the game, five straight games and interceptions. They had a good secondary.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they have good talented players back there. But, you know, you look at Virginia Tech's receivers, and, you know, athletically, they match up with any secondary in the country. When you put them out there in man-to-man coverage, they're going to make their share of plays just off athleticism. Where they struggle is more against zone coverage, recognizing where the open spot's going to be and running the sharp, correct route to get there. But when you're just running go routes downfield all day, you know, when you're the type of athlete that Justin Harper is, you're going to have a lot of success no matter what cornerback you're going up against because, you know, when you're 6'4", 6'5", like Harper, you're going to be taller than every single defensive back you're going up against. And I think his speed is very deceptive. Tony Carter had to try to run with him on one deep ball and just couldn't do it. And I think Harper's speed really surprised him because you look at Harper and you think, oh, he's a strong possession guy. He's going to go up, jump up, and make the catch. But he's a guy that runs a 4.4 flat in the 40, you know, and that's not common from a guy his height.
Len Montez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on ESPN 1430 on a Champs Wednesdays. Catching up with Coleman brought to you by Champs. And Chris, you mentioned Justin Harper. First half alone, three catches, 107 yards. He had that one touchdown catch where he beat Patrick Robinson, the nose cornerback. The Hokies in the first half, solid. 275 total yards, 105 rushing, 152 passing, 11 first downs. 11 first downs used to be a game for the Hokies at the beginning of the season. But that was all good, including 2-for-2 in the red zone. A solid first half. But what happened in the third quarter?
Florida State made some defensive adjustments at halftime. In particular, they went to more of a cover 2 style defense. They just left both safeties back. Those corners weren't quite on an island that they were in the first half. And we've talked about Tyrod Taylor this year. When he has to sit back and progress through his reads, you know, and actually read the defense, you know, he's not as good at doing that at this point as Sean Glennon is. So at that point, you know, he had to improvise and the Tech offense kind of, you know, shut down there in the third quarter. But, you know, they were able to come back and get that deep ball early in the fourth quarter, and the defense was able to get some turnovers. So they didn't have to drive it as much in the second half, but obviously, the third quarter took some adjusting because Florida State went to something they don't do that often, which is a cover two.
Before we talk about the defense, let me bring up a play in the first half before we move on. Tyrod Taylor's 28-yard pass to Justin Harper when he motioned Harper to come back to him. Kid 17, 18 years old and making plays like that. And as a receiver, you know as long as you keep yourself moving, he'll find you because he can make plays.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I didn't notice that live, but when I was watching the highlights of it yesterday, I noticed that. That was really impressive. You know, you don't see fifth-year senior quarterbacks doing that. You know, I mean, how good is this guy going to be in a couple of years? It's hard to imagine.
And he's doing it on the run, motioning to a guy to come back to him, and then he throws pretty much a laser right at Harper. And good job by Harper picking up the communication as far as coming back to the receiver. What's also good about that is the fact that those receivers have to know that at some point in some time, once he passes the line of scrimmage, you got to become a blocker too. And when you're as big as those guys are, you mentioned Harper being as big as he is, it's a whole lot easier to block a guy who's 5'11 and a cornerback when you're 6'4", 220, 225 pounds.
Right. You know, me and a lot of other people have been critical of the Tech receivers this year with their route running and a lot of it with their blocking downfield. But their blocking has been very good the last two games. You know, Tyrod obviously had a number of big runs down the field, and a lot of that was the wide receivers getting blocks on defensive backs. And also, you know, you got to give credit to Brandon Orr on Tyrod's 38-yard run. Brandon Orr was down the field leading him, throwing a critical block. So, you know, everybody did their share of blocking on Saturday. The running backs were very good in pass protection. They were assigned a lot of times to get the backside defensive end, and they did a great job with that.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on a Wednesday on ESPN 1430 Champs Wednesdays. brought to you by Chance Sports Bar and Cafe, 111 North Main Street. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. First play that comes to mind, Christopher, I noticed that the Flowers knockout of Drew Weatherford. There's also the interception by Chris Ellis. There's a lot of other plays, but one of the plays that really sticks out to me is a play by Brett Warren, because Brett obviously is going to be sitting now that Vince is coming back on Saturday. But the play by Brett where he just shed a couple of blockers and just stuck Anton Smith. Talk about that play.
Oh, that was a great play by Warren. You know, I think a lot of people expected Warren to be a good linebacker between the tackles, but I don't think a lot of people expected him to have the lateral movement that he does. And he just shed those blocks and just scraped down the line. Perfect form tackle right there by the sideline. And that hit kind of really set the tone, I thought, for Virginia Tech. And that was a really hard-hitting football game. I believe Bobby Bowden said Florida State has not been beat up like that. You know, I think maybe he said it was one of the top three most physical games as far as physical beatings Florida State has taken since he's been there. And that says quite a lot about the way Virginia Tech approached this game from a mental standpoint.
I don't know what it was, but there seemed to be an attitude that was evident on Saturday. And hopefully they can keep that same attitude evident this week and then also take that to Charlottesville and on to Jacksonville if they're successful in winning that far. But let's talk about what Brandon Flowers did, the hit he had on Drew Weatherford. Weatherford came into that game hot, back-to-back games, 300-plus yards. The receivers were hot. But guys have to know their role. Drew Weatherford's not the fleetest of foot guy. He likes to sit in the pocket. At some point in some time, you got to be smart enough to know you're playing against a physical football team and you're going to get stuck like this.
Yeah, you're playing against one of the hardest hitting corners in the country, you know, in Brandon Flowers. He's the hardest hitting corner Virginia Tech has ever had, in my opinion. And, you know, if it's not Brandon Flowers and it's Xavier Adebe coming up and making the big hit, or it's Cam Chancellor. And, you know, Drew Weatherford, he'd picked up 5 or 6 yards on that play. That's as good as he's going to reasonably do in the running game, you know. So at that point, you just got to get down and protect yourself. But Flowers just came in and just knocked him out of the game. And to be honest with you, I think having Ponder in that game really helped Florida State in that third quarter, because he hadn't taken a snap all year before that game. It was obvious that Virginia Tech didn't realize he could run like he did, and he really helped Florida State out with his legs. Obviously, his experience caught up with him there in the fourth quarter, but I thought, I'm not sure Florida State would have gotten back in that game with Drew Weatherford at quarterback.
Talk about what the secondary was able to do. We talked about how hot the trio receivers were, Jacoby Fagg, and also Preston Parker, and also Greg Carr. Those guys were hot coming into that game, but they got cooled off by that secondary.
Especially Preston Parker. The guy had one catch. 1 yard. And yeah. He was our leading receiver. I believe he had 46 catches or something like that coming into that game. And he was on a roll, and he's their Peter Warrick type guy this year. He runs it, sometimes he throws it, and he catches a lot of passes. But DJ Parker was matched up on him a lot in the slot and just did a great job. They did try to run a couple screens to him, and Macho Harris blew those up. When's the last time you saw a successful wide receiver screen run against Virginia Tech? Clemson tried it, and they got their wide receivers put in the hospital. You know, Florida State tried it, and it got shut down. Florida State hit Tech for a couple running back screens, but, you know, they went to that well a little bit too much there late in the game, and Chris Ellis was able to pick off that jailbreak screen.
All right, Christopher, thanks for the time, brother. We'll talk again on Friday.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Len Martinez here with you. Next segment, we'll talk to Joe Montana, Hall of Fame quarterback, and we'll do a little of that when Joe gets back. We'll talk to Joe about what he thinks his Notre Dame, his alma mater, should do about Charlie Weiss. We'll talk to Joe next on ESPN 1430.
On Westwood.
Hi, everybody. This is